Good evening. Welcome to Steadfast Baptist Church. If you could please find your seats and grab your songbooks. We're going to start with song 159, Blessed Be the Name. Song 159, Blessed Be the Name. Song 159, let's sing it out. All praise to Him, reigns above in majesty supreme. Who gave His Son for man to die, that He might then redeem. Blessed be the name, blessed be the name, blessed be the name. Singing. Let's open up in a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, thank you for this evening service. Thank you for the souls that were won this afternoon. Pray that you would just help them to grow in Christ. Pray that they would come to church. And please bless our pastor this evening as he preaches to us. We love you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. For our next song, let's go to song 202, My Redeemer. Song 202, My Redeemer. 202.
I will sing of my Redeemer and His wondrous love to me. On the cruel cross He suffered, from the curse to set me free. Sing, oh sing of my Redeemer, with His blood He purchased me. On the cross
Amen. Thank you so much for coming to Steadfast Baptist Church. If you need a bulletin, you can lift up your hand nice and high. Someone did look like maybe lost a black card, Merchant's Fleet. So if that's you, you can come and get it or claim it after the service. Just FYI. Also, on the inside, we have our service and soul winning times, as well as our church stats. On the right, we have a list of several expecting ladies. Please be praying for them. We have our prayer list. If you'd like to be added, you can fill out a communication card or send us an email. Upcoming events, tonight is the night to finish signing up for the Soul Winning Marathon to San Antonio, Texas. It's going to be led by Evangelist Salvador Alvarez of Pure Words Baptist Church. And so we want to go down there and support them. If you'd like to participate, there is a sign-up sheet. Please make sure to sign up by today, especially if you're planning on any kind of church transportation. On the back, we have the congratulations to the Canaire family on the birth of Zechariah Castilian. He was born on the 22nd, 4:15 a.m., weighing 7 pounds, 10 ounces, and 21 inches long. Congratulations to them. It's very fitting that he would be born during our Bible study of the book of Zechariah. So, of course, you can check that out on Wednesday nights, Zechariah. That's pretty much all I have for announcements. We're going to sing our Psalm of the Week, Psalm 67. Please turn your special handouts. Psalm 67. All right, let's sing it out together.
God be merciful unto us and bless us, and cause his face to shine upon us, that thy way may be known upon earth, thy saving health among all nations. Let the people praise thee, O God. Let all the people praise thee. Oh, let the nations be
as the offering plates are being passed around, please turn in your Bibles to Proverbs chapter 11. Proverbs chapter 11.
Thank you.
Proverbs chapter 11, the Bible says, "A false balance is abomination to the Lord, but a just weight is his delight. When pride cometh, then cometh shame, but with the lowly is wisdom. The integrity of the upright shall guide them, but the perverseness of transgressors shall destroy them. Riches profit not in the day of wrath, but righteousness delivereth from death. The righteousness of the perfect shall direct his way, but the wicked shall fall by his own wickedness. The righteousness of the upright shall deliver them, but transgressors shall be taken in their own naughtiness. When a wicked man dieth, his expectation shall perish, and the hope of unjust men perisheth. The righteous is delivered out of trouble, and the wicked cometh in his stead. An hypocrite with his mouth destroyeth his neighbor, but through knowledge shall the just be delivered. When it goeth well with the righteous, the city rejoiceth, and when the wicked perish, there is shouting. By the blessing of the upright, the city is exalted, but it is overthrown by the mouth of the wicked. He that is void of wisdom despiseth his neighbor, but a man of understanding holdeth his peace. A talebearer revealeth secrets, but he that is of a faithful spirit concealeth the matter. Where no counsel is, the people fall, but in the multitude of counselors there is safety. He that is surety for a stranger shall smart for it, and he that hateth suretyship is sure. A gracious woman retaineth honor, and strong men retain riches. The merciful man doeth good to his own soul, but he that is cruel troubleth his own flesh. The wicked worketh a deceitful work, but to him that soweth righteousness shall be a sure reward. As righteousness tendeth to life, so he that pursueth evil pursueth it to his own death. They that are of a froward heart are abomination to the Lord, but such as are upright in their way are his delight. Though hand join in hand, the wicked shall not be unpunished, but the seed of the righteous shall be delivered. As a jewel of gold and a swine's snout, so is a fair woman which is without discretion. The desire of the righteous is only good, but the expectation of the wicked is wrath. There is that scattereth and yet increaseth, and there is that withholdeth more than is meet, but it tendeth to poverty. The liberal soul shall be made fat, and he that watereth shall be watered also himself. He that withholdeth corn, the people shall curse him, but blessing shall be upon the head of him that selleth it. He that diligently seeketh good procureth favor, but he that seeketh mischief, it shall come unto him. He that trusteth in his riches shall fall, but the righteous shall flourish as a branch. He that troubleth his own house shall inherit the wind, and the fool shall be servant to the wise of heart. The fruit of the righteous is a tree of life, and he that winneth souls is wise. Behold, the righteous shall be recompensed in the earth, much more the wicked and the sinner." Let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for this day. Thank you for a great morning church service, and I thank you for the souls saved today. Please bless the soul winning throughout this week, and bless the soul winning marathon this evening. Please bless Pastor Shelley as he preaches this sermon. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Who here watched the presidential debate just a few nights ago or whatever? Okay, so we got about half the crowd, all right. Well, I decided to preach a completely different style sermon tonight, and the title of my sermon is Trump versus the Bible. Now, here's the thing. Pretty much everybody universally agrees that Donald Trump won the debate and Joe Biden lost. I mean, even a lot of people on his side were saying it was just a bad performance and he looked really bad. But honestly, how I felt was that America lost that debate because of our leadership and what's really going on. And I find myself even falling victim to this mentality or idea of simply just thinking the lesser of two evils is kind of good sometimes. And I think what's good is sometimes actually see what would a real presidential candidate that actually cared about the Bible, what would that look like? What would his answers be when asked a lot of these different questions? And so what I thought would be interesting is just kind of like revisit a lot of the questions, if not most of the questions that were brought up, kind of comparing how Trump responded to how the Bible would respond and how someone that actually trusts what the Word of God says would respond. So again, this is not really a conventional style sermon, but I still think there's a lot that we can kind of benefit from. And I think that it's very easy to fall victim of liking very compromised answers and responses because we're just so deluded and so brainwashed and we kind of forget what the Bible really says on a lot of these situations. And so it's a little bit different style sermon, but I basically printed out like a lot of the transcripts. So I'm going to read a lot of the moderator's comments, the sometimes Biden and sometimes Trump's responses. Now, I'm not going to read it entirely because it's way too long. It's like hours of a debate, so it'd take me hours just to regurgitate that. I'm just going to pull out little snippets that I think at least give us an idea of what they were talking about, and then we can address them from the Bible. The first question that was brought up in this specific discussion was about the economy. Number one was about the economy. Jake Tapper said this to President Biden about inflation. He said, home prices have jumped up more than 30%. What do you say to voters who feel that they are worse off under your presidency than they were under President Trump? So he's asking about inflation. This is kind of what Biden's response was initially. He says, you have to take a look at what I was left with when I became president, what Mr. Trump left me. We had an economy that was in free fall. The pandemic are so badly handled. That was a mistake on his part. Many people were dying. All he said was, it's not that serious. Just inject a little bleach in your arm. It'll be all right. The economy collapsed. There were no jobs. Unemployment rate rose to 15%. It was terrible. And so what we had to do is try to put things back together again. That's exactly what we began to do. We created 15,000 new jobs. We brought on in a position where we had 800,000 new manufacturing jobs. So I'm not going to read all of Biden's response, but that was mostly what he was trying to get across. Then President Trump was given a chance to respond. And he said, we had the greatest economy in the history of our country. Now, I'm not going to do that the whole time, but it's like this guy speaks in such a weird way. You know, it makes me think of, you know, in this verse that we just read, verse 2, when pride cometh, then cometh shame, but with the lowly is wisdom. I mean, think about what he just said. We had the greatest economy in the history of our country. So just like we're going to go back 300 years and we're going to evaluate all of those years and be able to just easily quantify and say that that was the greatest economy of all time, better than the 1950s or any other part of our entire United States. I mean, why does he have to make just such grandiose, over-the-top statements every single time? It just shows how prideful of a human he is. And virtually every sentence that flows from his mouth is something like this. Just like, we are the greatest, terrific, the best. I mean, that's just how he speaks. And it's just, it's kind of nauseating because of how prideful it is. Have you ever checked out Proverbs chapter 6? We'll come back to chapter 11. But look at chapter 6 where it says in verse 16, these six things doth the Lord hate, yea, seven are abomination unto him, a proud look. You know, the Bible says that God hates pride. And it's just so nauseating that we just have to love somebody that's arguably one of the most prideful people alive today. I don't know exactly who that would be, but I guarantee Donald Trump is up there as one of the most prideful people ever. And this is his response. You know, a lot of the things that Biden criticized Trump for here are legitimate. Whenever Biden took over the candidacy, Donald Trump had destroyed the economy through all kinds of COVID protocols and stopping the economy completely and just decimating the workforce and bringing in all kinds of unprecedented measures that we've never seen before. Yeah, that would be rough for any president to have taken over during that time period, considering what Trump and his administration had done to our economy. And then he's going to be like, we had the greatest economy. You shut it down. Yeah. Do you forget that? Yeah. I mean, that's ridiculous. You know, some people act like, oh, Trump was so great. But Trump's the one that literally shut down the economy. He's the one that just brought in all these unprecedented, all kinds of crazy things that were happening to our country that we've never seen before or ever experienced. 2 weeks to slow the spread. It's been a while for those 2 weeks. I mean, this is stuff that Donald Trump was bringing in, okay? Now I'll read a little bit more of his response. Admittedly, he was talking about prior to COVID, but I just wanted to bring that up. He says, we had never done so well. Everybody was amazed by it. Other countries were copying us. We got hit with COVID. And when we did, we spent the money necessary so we wouldn't end up in a Great Depression, the likes of which we had in 1929. I really want to understand. Do you think that we would have gone through the Great Depression if our government had done nothing about COVID? I mean, really? Am I supposed to believe that? He says, by the time we were finished, we had did a great job. We got a lot of credit for the economy. Who gave you that credit? He says, a lot of credit for the military and no wars and so many things. Everything was rocking good. Then he brings up Biden. This is Trump talking about Biden. He has not done us a good job. He's done a poor job, and inflation's killing our country. It is absolutely killing us. Now, here's my perspective from the Bible, and I'm going to get to some verses here in a second. But what I want to first point out is that COVID is a scam. Why are we talking about this? Like, does anybody not remember this thing called the flu? Like, America used to have 60 million cases of flu a year at times. And then it went down to nothing. It just disappeared. And then we have COVID all of a sudden. That's like the flu. That's weird. You know, it's weird how neither presidential candidate wants to bring up any of these inconvenient facts. They're just going to bring up this. And why is Donald Trump continuing to go down this narrative that COVID is this, like, real thing? I mean, I thought we've already established that Anthony Fauci has created this in labs in Wuhan and specifically released it on the public, and that all this money has been flowing through the pharmaceutical companies, through our government. I mean, why is Trump not addressing any of those things? Oh, I wonder why our economy screwed up. Is it because we've laundered billions of dollars through our government to all of these pharmaceutical companies and printed money? I mean, who started that? Oh, yeah, Operation Warp Speed with Donald Trump. But he doesn't want to own up for that, does he? You know, the Bible says in Proverbs chapter 11, verse 1, a false balance is abomination to the Lord, but a just weight is his delight. Our government printing money is a false balance. It is ripping the American citizens off, and it is stealing from our country and from our citizens. And it is wicked, is abomination unto God. You know what? Our government should not be printing money except for to replace currency that has been destroyed or needs to be replaced physically. Because by printing money, you're stealing from the American citizens. What right does our government have to just print and make new money? You know, we should get back to the gold standard. If we're going to continue a fiat currency, which I'm not against a fiat currency, there are benefits to that particular system, but it needs to have a reasonable, realistic standard, and you're not allowed to just print money and to rip everybody off through inflation. That is a Jewish trick. And you know what the Bible says? That is a false balance and a just weight. The Jews are the ones that invented this, my friend, folks. You go back in time, people would come in, they needed to exchange money, they had a false weight, and they are ripping people off, and they were taking advantage of them through the financial system. And you know what? There's no new thing under the sun. They were doing it back then. They're doing it now by printing money, and it's wicked. In fact, Donald Trump, during 2020, $3 trillion was printed by our government. $3 trillion. That's hard to even fathom what that number means. There's approximately 350 million people in America. So that's $8,500 per person. We're not talking about the head of the household. We're talking about dad, mom, children, babies, every single person. That's how much money that the government stole from each person by just printing all that money. That's $34,000 for a family of four. Just right there. You know, go to Proverbs 20 for a minute. Go to Proverbs chapter 20. You know, the Bible says in Leviticus 25, verse 17, ye shall not therefore oppress one another, but thou shalt fear thy God, for I am the Lord your God. You know, we're not allowed to oppress the poor and take advantage of these people. And let me say something. When you print money, you're directly oppressing the poor. Because as soon as you print money, everybody that doesn't have tangible assets got ripped off the most. Whereas people that owned a lot of real estate and owned a lot of goods, they actually gained money. So if you owned a lot of assets during the COVID situation, you actually are probably better off financially, whereas the rest of everybody else was just taken advantage of literally. You know, it seems like, and I kind of study the market a little bit, but when it comes to real estate prices in this area, home prices probably went up about $100,000 just automatically basically through COVID. Like, it didn't matter. A house that was $200,000 is now $300,000. House that was $300,000 is $400,000. A house that was $1 million, 1.1. Like, basically, they just all just rose like $100,000. So think about it. Someone that owns 10 properties, well, they made $1 million by doing literally nothing. But every single person that doesn't own a house, you just now have to pay an extra $100,000 if you want to get that house. That nothing changed about it. Why? Because they printed money. That's oppressing the poor. That's taking advantage of them and ripping them off. And all these young people that don't have a home yet or getting started or people that are, you know, renting or whatever, their prices of their rent went up. The prices of property taxes went up. Just everything just starts rising in prices and they don't have new wages. It was just stealing from the entire populace. And some people think like, oh yeah, real estate prices, they go up and down. They'll come back down. No, no, no. When inflation hits, prices don't go down. The market can go up and down by demand, yes. But here's the problem. It didn't go up because of demand. It didn't go up because of supply. It went up because of inflation, meaning you were just stolen from. The price can't come down because inflation is what caused it. Inflation doesn't have this part where it goes down. If it goes down, that just means your currency has failed completely as a nation. That's the only time prices really drop like that, is when your currency has failed completely. You don't want to go down that road. This is just kind of basic economics. But Proverbs chapter 20, verse 10 brings up the same problem. Divers weights and divers measures, both of them are alike abomination of the Lord. Our government is doing all kinds of crazy things with money by printing it and usury and interest as well. Go to Proverbs 22, you're probably right there. I'll read for you. Deuteronomy 23 says this, "Thou shalt not lend upon usury to thy brother, usury of money, usury of victuals, usury of anything that is lent upon usury." Yet our government controls interest rates and charges interest to everyone. Yep. We're even being charged interest on our national debt that we didn't ask for. Yep. That they literally just print money and then we have to pay a national interest to foreign companies, foreign countries, and foreign individuals on the money we never even asked to print. I mean, think about it. Who in here wanted us to print trillions of dollars and give it to Big Pharma? Give it to Pfizer? And then you have to pay interest on the money you never asked to send to Pfizer. This was all during Trump, my friend, yeah. Not Biden. Yeah. Now, Biden didn't stop this gravy train, of course. Biden poured on. Yeah. Don't hear me wrong. But you're a fool if you don't think that Trump didn't start that train and didn't get it going and isn't also complicit in the exact same economic downturn and downfall of our nation. It was going to hit hard at some point. They can't just print all this money and nothing happens. Nope, that's why all the prices got jacked up so bad that they are. Now, of course, it was exacerbated by things like giving money to Ukraine, Israel, all the other stuff. But let me tell you something. That COVID train hit hard, and it brought the prices up hard. The usury and interest in this nation is wicked. We should ban usury. You know, here's what the presidential candidate should say. Well, number one, we are never going to print money ever again. We're going back to the gold standard. Number two, we're outlawing interest and usury. It's illegal in our country. Not only that, Biden, if we're going to talk to Biden, he cut off that Keystone pipeline, which raised oil prices, which when you raise the price of oil, you raise literally the price of every other good in the country. Why don't we go back to the Keystone pipeline and actually drill some of our own oil and actually reduce costs for Americans? That would actually give jobs to America. That would actually give us back power. And here's the thing. When you have foreign countries that are hostile towards you, what you don't want is your most crucial infrastructure to be in their hands. Oil is crucial infrastructure. As Americans, we should always have the ability to turn on our own crucial infrastructure as far as oil and gas and, you know, metals and other things that are very important to manufacturing and life. You know, to just say like, hey, we don't need to worry about that. We'll just buy oil from other people. What happens when they jack the price up? What happens when they're hostile towards you in a military conflict? What happens when they don't want to ship it to you? You know, then you're in a hostile environment and you're in a really big detriment because you can't actually provide your own natural resources. This is a horrible decision unless you want our country destroyed. Not only that, they brought in the COVID vaccine and I'm sorry, let's read this verse I wanted you to read. Verse 9. He that hath a bountiful eye shall be blessed, for he giveth of his bread to the poor. You know, it's important to make sure to care for people. And you know what? By bringing in the pipeline, you'd actually reduce the prices and you'd actually make it more affordable for the poor. That's the blessed person. Not the person that just keeps allowing us to buy foreign oil and jacking up the rates and making a bigger poverty dispersion amongst our population. Go to Mark chapter number 5. I want to bring up one more thing. Mark chapter number 5. Generally speaking, the reason why our economy is bad, while I'm bringing up a lot of practical solutions, let's just talk about the elephant in the room. The reason why our economy is getting worse is because we've turned away from God as a nation. That is why. Because we are not being blessed by God. I don't care how much money you print and give to Israel, that's not going to bless America. What blesses America is actually following God's commandments and turning back to the Lord. You know, the Bible says in Deuteronomy chapter 8, it is He that giveth thee power to get wealth. It's God that gives us wealth. It's God that gives us the rain. It's God that gives us the increase. It's God that gives us the intelligence, the wisdom, the safety, and everything that we need to have a great economy. And the economy is in the hands of the Lord. But until we trust in Him and allow Him to actually guide us as a nation, you know what? We should never expect to have a great economy. He brought in the COVID vaccine. What has that done for our economy? It caused a lot of people to lose their job. Caused a lot of people to quit their job for fear of having to take the stupid garbage. It caused just all kinds of economic disruptions. It closed a lot of small businesses that were being regulated with just such a heavy hand. It caused churches to diminish in their attendance. It caused all kinds of negative consequences. And how about the people that actually even took it? How many people have been suffering medical consequences after having taken the COVID vaccine? And, you know, we see in the Bible a similar situation, Mark chapter 5, verse 25. And a certain woman, which had an issue of blood 12 years, and had suffered many things of many physicians, and had spent all that she had, and was nothing bettered, but rather grew worse. You know, there's a lot of people that are going to the world's medicine, and they're getting worse, not better. This woman already had a serious issue, and then she goes to the doctors, and they made her worse. And anybody that was sick and went to the doctors, many times they even made them worse, putting them on these ventilators. They killed a lot of people. The people that were in the nursing homes, they actually prevented them from being social, being around other individuals, and killed many of them. I believe that my grandfather was killed due to the COVID measures, literally, because my grandfather was locked in his room. Baseball season was canceled, so he had nothing to watch. He had nothing to live for, and they just simply just slide the food under the door, and he died. Why? Because he had literally no reason to live anymore. He couldn't be social. He couldn't watch baseball. He had nothing to do. He's just locked in a prison cell. He's already, my grandfather, I believe, was like, forgive me if I'm wrong, like 97 or 98. He's very old. But he was still in very good health. Probably could have lived to be well over 100 if they hadn't done this. He could still play golf, all kinds of things. And you know what? But being locked in a room with nothing to do all day, with no reason to live, a lot of times they will perish, literally. How many people are killed on ventilators? How many people took the COVID vaccine and then died suddenly for no reason? SADS, sudden adult death syndrome. What is that? Why is it that we've never had SADS before and then everybody's taking this vaccine and then we just have all these SADS deaths? And we have all these different people that they're being examined by medical people after they die. They get like an autopsy, not necessarily an autopsy, but they're basically like embalmers and stuff. They're like checking the body parts of these people, and they're saying we're pulling out these weird things from people's body. Go watch that movie called Died Suddenly. It's scary what they did to people. That's how you should respond to the economy. Hey, we had the greatest economy. What a nothing statement that is. How about address the real issues? How about address the COVID scam? How about address the COVID vaccine that you brought into our country? How about address all the money that you printed, Donald Trump? How about address all the money laundering that's going on in our country right now? How about the fact that we've turned away from God and we're not blessed by God, and that's why we have such an economy that's destroying itself? You know, that's what a real biblical president would have to bring up, is those issues, and say, hey, we are going to stop printing money. We're not doing interest anymore. We're not doing any of those things. COVID was a scam. Just admit it. Say we're disbanding the COVID shot, and we're investigating every single person that knew that it was going to cause harm, and we're going to investigate where all this money went, and anybody that spent a cent inappropriately will be criminally prosecuted. That's how we're going to fix our economy. And small business, you know, give us a tax credit to any small business that was destroyed during COVID. That's what a president should do. Here's the second issue that they brought up, abortion. Just getting started, all right? This is the female, I think, Bash is her name. She said, this is the first presidential election since Supreme Court overturned Roe v. Wade. This morning, the court ruled on yet another abortion case, temporarily allowing emergency abortions to continue in Idaho, despite that state's restrictive ban. Former President Trump, you take credit for the decision to overturn Roe v. Wade, which returned the issue of abortion to the states. Trump says correct. Bash. However, the federal government still plays a role in whether or not women have access to abortion pills. They're used in about two-thirds of all abortions. That's a lot. As president, would you block abortion medication? Trump. First of all, the Supreme Court just approved the abortion pill, and I agree with their decision to have done that. And I will not block it. Wow. So you know what he's saying? Two-thirds of abortions are approved by Trump. Wow. He says, like Ronald Reagan, I believe in the exceptions. I am a person that believes, and frankly, I think it's important to believe in the exceptions. Some people, you have to follow your heart. Some people don't believe in that. But I believe in the exceptions for rape, incest, and the life of the mother. I think it's very important. Some people don't follow your heart. That sounds like Disney, you know. He does bring up at least that some Democrats are radical and want to murder children at 9 months, and he doesn't like that. And I think that a lot of conservatives are thinking like, oh, he doesn't like nine-month-old babies being destroyed. Wow, what a wonderful person. And he brings up this stupid idea. Go to Exodus 21, if you would. Go to Exodus 21. He brings up this stupid idea about rape, incest, and the life of the mother as being exceptions. But we just read, and they just quoted, that two-thirds of all abortions are done through this pill. Am I supposed to believe that, you know, when they're killing approximately like a million children a year through abortion, am I really supposed to believe that 600,000 of those are rape, incest, and the life of the mother? Because he just brought up the exceptions, but what percentage of those are actually that exception? Because a lot of people say it's less than 1%. So how much do you believe in the exceptions here? It doesn't seem like you really believe in the exceptions. It believes in a loophole to afford people to just do whatever they want, whenever they want. I guess once it's 9 months, it's too bad. It's too obvious at that point. But what does the Bible say? What would be the biblical response to this question? Well, Exodus 21, verse 22, if men strive and hurt a woman with child so that her fruit depart from her and yet no mischief follow, he shall be surely punished according as the woman's husband will lay upon him, and he shall pay as the judges determine. And if any mischief follow, then thou shalt give life for life. What the Bible says is that, you know what, if you kill a child that's not born, it's still a life, and you know what, your life goes for its life. So you know what, he should say, well, not only am I going to stand against the abortion pill, I believe we should execute all abortion doctors. That's what he should say. Execute all abortion doctors and eliminate all abortion products, all of them. And you know, you brought up these exceptions like rape. Okay, here's a solution. Kill the rapist, not the baby. Right. You know, we spend so much time talking about killing a baby from rape, and we spend zero time talking about killing the rapist. Yeah. Have you ever thought about that? Like, how weird is it that we as a society, we're more concerned with killing the baby from a rape rather than the rapist himself? Like, we spend almost no time talking about that or doing it. You know what? As a nation, as a country, kill the rapist, yeah. Save the baby. Yeah. And you know, if a mother truly is just so horrified and it's so bad, can't she just give up the child for adoption? I mean, I'm not recommending that. I would never even suggest that to her. But you know what? That's so much more of a humane solution to this than killing the baby as a result of rape. You know, if there was truly a situation where a young girl had that horrible thing happen and it was just so much PTSD and she couldn't stand it, maybe there's a solution of saying maybe she could offer it for adoption, right? I mean, that's not horrible. But you know what? To say kill the baby just doesn't make any sense. Kill the rapist. When it comes to incest, can we exile the incest people? Can we just get rid of them? Like, that's weird. Go to Leviticus chapter 20. In most incestual situations, according to the Bible, you know what the solution was? Execute them. Yeah. Yeah. Okay? In some cases of incest, it's just you execute them. In some cases of incest, you kick them out. You exile them. They're literally just not welcome in your society. You know, that would get rid of a lot of people from New Jersey. Yeah. that wear little hats. Yeah. Yeah. But you know what? That is what the Bible says. Look what it says in Leviticus chapter 20, verse 11. And the man that lieth with his father's wife, having covered his father's nakedness, both of them shall surely be put to death. Their blood shall be upon them. If that's the incest we're talking about, death. And if a man lie with his daughter-in-law, both of them shall surely be put to death. They have wrought confusion, their blood shall be upon them. There's another one. Verse 17. And if a man shall take his sister, his father's daughter, his mother's daughter, and see her nakedness, and she see his nakedness, it is a wicked thing, and they shall be cut off in the sight of their people. He hath uncovered his sister's nakedness. He shall bear his iniquity. Saying, like, we're going to literally kick you out of society. You're not even welcome to be a part of our country or nation anymore. You incestuous freaks. And lastly, I do not believe there's ever any reason to kill a baby in order to save a mother. That makes no sense. Now, I could understand if someone induces labor early to save a woman, but there would be no reason to just kill the baby in the process. If by a medical happenstance, someone had to be induced early because of complications for the woman, her uterus ruptures, or there was some kind of a pregnancy issue or complication, and the baby happens to not survive that complicated scenario, okay, we're not going to sue the doctor, be mad at them for trying to help them. But you know what? It makes no sense to literally jab an instrument into the baby's brain and scramble it and destroy it to save the mother. That's not going to save the mother. All these three exceptions make no sense. There's no legitimacy to them. There should just not be I believe in the exceptions for abortion. There should be zero exceptions. Just don't kill babies. It's that simple. It's that easy. That should be the biblical answer. That should be the logical answer. But then so many people are just like, oh yeah, everybody wants this. Who wants that, really? Here's the third issue they brought up, immigration. Jake Tapper. Now let's turn to the issue of immigration and border security. President Biden, a record number of migrants have illegally crossed the southern border on your watch, overwhelming border states and overburdening cities such as New York and Chicago. I want to know where the news was for the last, 2 years. Yeah. On this statement that he just made. So I feel like they kept saying it wasn't happening. That's funny that now all of a sudden it's happening. Here's part of Biden's response. He's talking about Trump. Biden saying about Trump, he was separating babies from their mothers, putting them in cages, making sure the families were separated. This is where we needed Trump to come in and be like, who built the cages, Joe? Okay. But at the end of the day, obviously imprisoning people is imprisoning people that are illegally crossing the country, okay? Who knows about all those specific situations? This is what Joe Biden then continued to say, though. I changed the law. I changed it in a way that now you're in a situation where there are 40% fewer people coming across the border illegally. Who in here believes that statement? Who here believes that literally the amount of people crossing the border illegally since Biden became president has been reduced by 40%. What kind of a weird statement is that? He's a liar, that's for sure. Now, he allows Trump to give his thoughts on this. And he said, look, we had the safest border in the history of our country. What was the grandiose statement? Am I supposed to believe in 1776 it was just a free-for-all and now it's great? Am I really supposed to believe in the whole of 1700s, 1800s, and in all of 1900s, this was literally the safest that we've ever had it, was 2016 to 2020. Wow. Why do we have to make statements like that? Yeah. Couldn't you just say, our border has always had issues, there's always people trying to get across. I thought we were improving it and making it a little bit better, but it's obviously much worse now. I mean, at least that's reasonable. Why does it always have to be we had the greatest, it was the best of all time, most ever? It's just it's so ridiculous. The guy is prideful. Now, he brings up some legitimate points about terrorists coming across the border, which seems very likely. He says that they're living in luxury hotels in New York City. He says the veterans are on the street and dying, and nobody cares about them, and yet we have these people in the borders. I was kind of paraphrasing there. He says, we had by far the highest, and now it's down in less than half because he's done all these great things that we did. That didn't make sense either. And I think he did it because I approved it, which is crazy. He says he has killed so many people at our border by allowing them in. So basically, the question is about border issues. And Trump is saying that they had the greatest border. Now, when it comes to the border, I want you to go to Proverbs chapter 25 for a moment. I'm going to give you kind of my thoughts. And again, some of the things in the Bible are just clear. Like, there's really not much to argue. Killing babies is not an argument amongst Christians. It's just off the table. And the punishment for people who kill babies is not really a question. They should be executed. Okay, it's that simple. When it comes to the border, I'll grant you that there's a little bit more nuance here is exactly how you would interpret the Bible. But of course, I believe that there are certain principles that should solve these problems and would make a lot of sense biblically. Number one would be that we shouldn't allow anybody in here just because. I do not believe in open borders. I do not believe the Bible teaches that, okay? Here's one proof, Proverbs 25, verse 28. He that hath no rule over his own spirit is like a city that is broken down and without walls. So the Bible talks about borders as being a positive thing. Even the new heaven and the new earth still has gates. I mean, think about that. You know, I don't even know why, but it does, okay? Maybe it's just symbolic. But at the end of the day, gates, walls, these are all good things. There's nothing wrong with them. They're very biblical. Having a border makes sense. I don't think we need a border wall, personally. You know, what would actually keep people from entering our country illegally would be, number one, if we brought back capital punishment for all the things the Bible literally says. If they know, hey, if I commit rape, I'm getting executed on the spot, well, you know, we'd have a lot less repeat offenders. If we were actually executing people for all the things that the Bible brings up. Secondly, if we had no handouts. Go over to 2 Thessalonians chapter 3. I'll read for you in Leviticus 24. This is what the Bible says. Ye shall have one manner of law, as well for the stranger, as for one of your own country, for I am the Lord your God. We shouldn't just be handing out things to somebody that crossed the border. They should get the exact same rights and privileges as someone that lives here legally. Okay? There shouldn't be any special privilege. We shouldn't be giving them debit cards, luxury hotels. We shouldn't be giving them any kind of extra assistance and aid in any way. It should be simply one law for every single person, and it's the exact same. Okay. Obviously, if someone crosses illegally, they should be kicked back out. Yeah. Right? Someone breaks in your house, you throw them out of the house. It's that simple. Okay. Here's something that would be interesting and should be implemented as a part of our border policy, and this would help a lot of things very quickly. Leviticus 20:14 says this, and he that blasphemeth the name of the Lord, he shall surely be put to death. Yeah. You know, we shouldn't be allowing other religions to come into our country that blaspheme the name of the Lord our God. We shouldn't allow Judaism, we shouldn't allow Hinduism, and we shouldn't allow Islam, we shouldn't allow any of those religions into our country. That would eliminate a lot of problems that we have. You know, that should just be like right on the table. To have mosques and temples and synagogues of Satan and whatever all over our nation, it's just a disgrace to our founders. It's a disgrace to the Lord Jesus Christ and has no reverence towards the word. Yep. We should bring back that capital punishment. That'll bring a lot of people to justice quickly. Yep. All these people are saying like, hey, if Trump's voted office, I'm leaving the country. Just imagine if somebody like this was running for country, yeah. How many people would be leaving in droves? Yeah. Hollywood would be empty. Yeah. We could all buy a house there. The real estate would be so cheap. Here's another thing. If you are going to bring people in to your country, it only makes sense to bring in people that are working, that have a job. I think that you should only be allowed to enter a country because you've been given a job, specifically. We should not bring anybody that's not working, and we should never give them anything if they're not working. What does the Bible say in 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, verse 10? For even when we are with you, this we command you, that if any would not work, neither should he eat. We should just be bringing people across the border and giving them stuff. Like, hey, if they have a job, if they're going to work here or work for a company, they should be granted temporary access, okay? If you don't have a place to live and you don't have work to do, bye. Shouldn't be here. Doesn't make any sense. Leviticus 20:13, I'm going to bring up another verse here, but go to Exodus 12 if you would. Leviticus 20:13, I'm saying 20:13. Leviticus chapter 23 says in verse 22, "And when ye reap the harvest of your land, thou shalt not make clean riddance of the corners of thy field when thou reapest, neither shalt thou gather any gleaning of thy harvest. Thou shalt leave them unto the poor and to the stranger. I am the Lord your God." The Bible brings up a solution for strangers or foreigners that have entered in your country to be able to eat. What was it? They had to actually go into your field and work. It says, still leave them a remnant, but it doesn't say gather the gleanings and give it to them. It says leave them so that they may come and work and harvest them themselves. We don't give out handouts. Christianity is not a handout religion. It is a work religion. You know, we believe in salvation by faith, but you know what? After that, it's work, okay? You work. Salvation was free. Everything else is work, all right? And, you know, the workies, that's what some people call, like, work salvationists. The workies, it's like they're the exact opposite. They want to work for the salvation, but they want to make everything else free, the communists that they are, okay? You know, we're not communists here. We believe in a free salvation that was bought and paid for. Jesus did the work. And you know what? Then we have to do the work for the rest of our Christian life. We shouldn't allow people to come across our borders that don't want to work. Why would you want to be filled with a country of people that don't want to work? That's dangerous. That's communism. I would only want someone to come here because they want to work, not because they want free handouts. That brings in the worst people. The worst people get stuff for free. The best people want to work for it. Exodus chapter 12, look at verse 48. "And when a stranger shall sojourn with thee and will keep the Passover to the Lord, let all his males be circumcised, and then let them come near and keep it, and he shall be as one that is born in the land, for no uncircumcised person shall eat thereof." Here's another aspect of foreign policy that the Bible brings up, is that when a stranger wants to come, they have to be a part of your religion. Meaning, when people are seeking asylum to America, we should only allow Christians to seek asylum in America. If you're being persecuted as a Jew, bye. If you're being persecuted for being a Muslim, bye. If you're being persecuted for being a Hindu, bye. You should only be able to seek asylum if you're a Christian in a foreign nation that is fleeing religious persecution. Yes, we'll take you. But our asylum should be limited to Christians. That is it. That is the right foreign policy. So let me just remind you, number one, we shouldn't just be letting anyone in here. Secondly, if we bring back capital punishment and have no handouts, only bring in workers, and specifically can only allow asylum to Christians, that will fix all of our border issues. We don't have to put them in cages, okay? Cages aren't in the Bible, really. Here's the fourth point, is an extension of foreign policy. So it was limited to kind of a border policy. Now we're kind of getting into foreign policy a little bit. Bash brings up the conflict between Ukraine and Russia and asks Trump specifically if Putin's terms to end the war are acceptable. He wants to keep the territory that he's claimed and that Ukraine is not allowed to join NATO. That was his two responses. And then they ask Trump if this is acceptable. Now, Trump just gives like a million responses and never really answers the question for a long time. Then finally he says, no, they're not acceptable. No, they're not acceptable. Well, I do want to bring up my viewpoint on this particular issue. Number one, you know, Ukraine is not really the nation that you think it is. Yeah. Ukraine was formed in 1991. That's kind of weird. Also, the president of Ukraine is Vladimir Zelensky. Vladimir Zelensky was born in Miami, Florida. That's interesting. Zelensky is known for videos of being a transvestite, of videos of playing instruments with his private parts, and being an actor in a TV show where he pretends to be the president of Ukraine. Wow. This is weird. And then he became the president of Ukraine. Some people would say the nation of Ukraine is a fake country built solely to launder money. Wow. That sounds kind of reasonable. There's some books out there, like the Protocols of the Elders of Zion, that suggests that the Jews want to simply just destroy the youth through fake wars, slaughtering all of them, and launder money through foreign governments. And most of Ukraine is just Russians. It's filled with just Russian people that, you know, it's just imaginary borders that keep getting made in Europe all the time. And they just take a section of Russians and just cut it off. And, hey, there's the Ukrainian Russians and then the old Soviet Russians. And then in a bloodbath, let's just have them kill each other for no reason, literally, over a territory fight, over Vladimir Zelensky owning that. You know, Putin saying, hey, I just want to keep the territory I have and just that Ukraine can't join NATO. That sounds pretty reasonable. I'm just going to be honest with you from a foreign policy perspective. Proverbs chapter 26. Go to 1 Timothy 6 if you want. But here's what Proverbs 26 says. He that passeth by and meddleth with strife belonging not to him is like one that taketh a dog by the ears. You know, I believe that we should not be involved in foreign wars. We should stay away. If it doesn't involve us, stay away. And we shouldn't be making all these weird alliances. We should get out of NATO. We should stop being in all these crazy things. And the Bible says in 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 10, for the love of money is the root of all evil. Evil is specifically talking about harm, warfare. And let me explain something. All wars are as a result of a love of money. It's all about money for these people. And we keep printing all this money and giving it to Ukraine, and we receive what exactly? How's a guy in a green t-shirt walking around just get so much money from America all the time? Some failed actor. Some disgusting sodomite actor that's a Jew that was born in Miami that's the president of Ukraine. However that makes sense. I mean, it's weirder than an actual movie. Here's another aspect of foreign policy that was brought up, foreign wars specifically, and not just the Ukraine war. They bring up the conflict in the Middle East, specifically between Palestinians and Gaza and Israel. They bring up October situation. And they ask specifically, President Biden, you put forth a proposal to resolve this conflict, but so far Hamas has not released the remaining hostages and Israel is continuing its military offensive in Gaza. So what additional leverage will you use to get Hamas and Israel to end the war? You have 2 minutes. I didn't really put in his response because it was nonsense. Trump, he just said, as far as Israel and Hamas, Israel's the one that wants to go. He said, the only one who wants to keep going is Hamas. Actually, Israel's the one, and you should let them go and let them finish the job. So according to Trump, he's more pro-Israel than Biden. Wow. Now, I want you to go to 2 Samuel chapter 2, if you would. 2 Samuel chapter 2. You know, I thought of a verse. I didn't have it in my notes, but I was just kind of thinking about this, and I was thinking about a verse in the Bible. You know, the Bible says in 2 Chronicles, shouldest thou help the ungodly and love them that hate the Lord? I mean, we have on one side of a fight Islam, which is one of the worst false religions there is out there, that was founded by a literal pedophile, and it's promoting all kinds of wickedness and evil in our society and culture, hates women, is just a degenerate, illiterate religion. And then on the other corner, you have the synagogue of Satan. It's like, why would I want to involve myself in this particular conflict? It makes no sense. Simply, you know, of course, if we have power and ability to keep peace, I would go for that. But at the end of the day, why would we want to help either of these nations? And the reality is, because of how much we've invested into Israel and how much we are their power and might, militarily speaking, if we say, Israel, we're not funding you, we're not going to help you in any way, they would stop fighting tomorrow. If we say, hey, if you get invaded again, you're on your own, they would stop immediately because they know they're outnumbered. The only reason they continue fighting is because they know that we're in their corner and that we're funding them and we have our military to support them. But if we say, hey, you're done, and if you keep going this way, we're not helping at all, it would cease. You could actually have peace in that area, generally speaking. Obviously, there's still going to be terrorist attacks and many conflicts no matter what, but just generally speaking, it doesn't necessarily have to be a full-out war. But you have to understand that when it comes to war, many of the times, the leaders, they don't care at all. They simply just want to kill men for money. 2 Samuel chapter 2, look at verse 14. And Abner said to Joab, let the young men now arise and play before us. And Joab said, let them arise. Then they arose and went over by number 12 of Benjamin, which pertained to Ishbosheth, the son of Saul, and 12 of the servants of David. And they caught every one his fellow by the head and thrust his sword in his fellow's side. So they fell down together, wherefore that place was called Helkath Hazurim, which is in Gibeon. Basically, they say, hey, I'll get 12 units. You get 12 units. They'll walk up to each other, stab each other, and they'll die. It kind of makes me think of like the Revolutionary War, where they basically just march, just stand right in front of each other, and just take volley shooting until they just kill each other.
Yeah.
It's like, what's the point?
Yeah.
What is the point in just slaughtering men after men after men? It's just so somebody can get richer.
Yeah.
Someone at the top can get more money. And it's just wicked. It's evil. It makes no sense. We should stay out of it. The sixth thing they brought up was democracy. I'm going to have to speed up for sake of time, but I'll just kind of give you quick thoughts here. Specifically, they want to ask Trump about January 6th, and they feel like he, was a detriment to the Constitution, which he was sworn to protect. And his comment was, I said peacefully and patriotically. Then he blames Nancy Pelosi for the whole January 6th event, okay? Well, what is my response? Well, number one, we have a constitutional republic, okay? And Trump is supposed to protect the Constitution. And if he believed, which he said many times, he believed that the election was a literal fraud. And he believed that there was people in our government working to overthrow our country in a coup. And he did nothing. How is that defending and protecting the Constitution? I mean, if you're the leader in charge of a nation and you believe wholeheartedly that they've committed fraud in the election and there's a coup to literally overthrow the government and you do absolutely nothing but whine about it, how can you say that you're a good leader? I mean, if I thought, hey, there's a coup in the church, there's a few people in here that are trying to overthrow me and take over this church, so what I'm going to do is I'm going to go on Twitter and I'm going to complain about it. No, you better believe I'm going to be in here calling them out, and I'm going to go full throttle, and I'm going to make sure that this church is protected against wolves.
Amen.
I'm not just going to let people just hijack the church. In fact, we literally did have wolves literally try to take over our church.
Wow.
And you know what I didn't do? Crawl in a little corner and hide and say, like, please don't take my church. This is unfair. No, I went to bat. And I said, I will do everything I can physically do to make sure that that doesn't happen. And you know what? Those disgusting wolves owe us hundreds of thousands of dollars, and they've been defeated for the scum that they are. And you know what? How come a president can't actually take control of his nation? That's ridiculous. Go to Proverbs 20. Did I have you go there? Go to Proverbs 20. You know what Trump should have done? He should have rooted out all the wicked people in our government and stood up for the Constitution of America.
Yeah.
I mean, what is an oath anymore? You're going to literally swear with your life that you will protect the Constitution, and then they actually have real threats and they do nothing about it. I mean, you're supposed to protect the Constitution against enemies foreign and domestic.
Right. Yeah.
And regardless of what those oaths are, according to the Bible, when you make an oath, you have to do it. So if you swear an oath to protect the Constitution, I mean, how many people in our government and our military are cowards today and they're not standing up against the obvious traitors and domestic terrorists that we have in our nation?
Yeah. Yeah. Good.
I mean, it's just basically become a meaningless statement for all these people today.
Yeah.
And the Bible says in Proverbs 20, verse 26, a wise king scattereth the wicked and bringeth the wheel over them. Hey, if they ask me what I'm going to do about the Constitution, you know, I would have probably said, well, we need a Jehu that's going to literally overthrow all these wicked people in our government.
Yeah.
And here's the thing. Oh, yeah, I remember when Donald Trump said that if he was president, Hillary Clinton would be in jail.
Mm-hmm.
What happened?
Yeah.
You know what? A real king, a godly king, she would be 6 feet under.
Yeah.
In Minecraft. Okay.
Not
only that, they also bring up morals. Specifically, it was kind of Biden that kind of brought this up. This is what Biden said about Trump. He said that he was a convicted felon. He said, the crimes that you're still charged with, and think of all the civil penalties you have, how many billions of dollars you owe in civil penalties for molesting a woman in public and doing a whole range of things, having relations with an adult actress. And he said, while your wife was pregnant, he said, you have the morals of an alley cat. Now, Trump said that he denies the specific allegation of being with an adult actress, okay? Number one, I don't know. Who knows? It's kind of he said, she said. Let's just assume that that didn't happen. But let's just evaluate Trump biblically apart from that. Go to Leviticus 20 if you would. Go to Leviticus 20. In the Post in 1998, they had an interview with Donald Trump and they asked him certain questions. Here's a question that I believe it's the Daily Beast or the Post, one of these news outlets, dug up this information, but essentially they put it back out there. They said, in an interview, they asked Trump this question. Do you think adultery is a sin? Wow. Trump was asked this in February of 1998, I believe. He says this, very good question. That's a good answer, right? He paused, and then he said this. I don't think it's a sin. But I don't think it should be done. The reporter then asked, would you do it? Trump coyly responded, I'll let you guess. And later in the article, he explains how he was consistently pursuing married women knowing that they were married. What does Leviticus chapter 20 verse 10 say? And the man that committed adultery with another man's wife, even he that committed adultery with his neighbor's wife, the adulterer and the adulteress shall surely be put to death. According to the Bible, Donald Trump should not be allowed to run for president. He should be executed for being an adulterer. You know, it's sad that we have the candidates that we do because they wouldn't even be allowed to exist in our society if it was biblical. I wonder why they don't like the Bible. Is it because if we actually implemented the Bible, they wouldn't even be allowed to exist? Then they bring up specifically issues with blacks in America and black arrests. They say that it's so funny how the news reports the news when it's in this debate. It said that blacks were being imprisoned 5 times the rate of white Americans. It's probably true. And, you know, I don't even Trump even addressed the question. But this is what he should have said. Get a job and stop committing crimes. That's what he should have said. Because the Bible says, but if any provide not for his own, especially for those of his own house, he denied the faith and is worse than an infidel.
Yeah. Yeah.
They're talking about how black women can't provide for their house. Well, it's because the dads aren't there.
Yeah.
It's just statistics. They brought up the climate crisis. Trump said, we had H2O. Okay. The Bible says, while the earth remaineth seed time and harvest and cold and heat and summer and winter and day and night shall not cease. That should be the answer. Climate crisis is a hoax. It's fake. It's laundering money. They brought up Social Security. What do we do? It's about to not be solvent anymore. Well, I believe we slash all the foreign war money, foreign aid that we're doing, and we get rid of all the worthless departments that our government has created, we would have plenty of money to pay the Social Security. You know, the Bible says you should not afflict any widow or fatherless child. I believe we should sunset Social Security. This is my personal opinion now for a second. I believe we should sunset Social Security. Everybody that's on Social Security should get it until they die. And we should probably even raise the number because inflation's so bad. We should probably give them more money. And everybody that has paid into Social Security at this point should get a tax credit to offset that until they've been reimbursed. And those who are the youngest in our society that haven't really paid in much or at all, that it just is sunset for them and they don't have them pay into Social Security. It's gone.
Yeah.
And I believe the money to provide for that would come from defunded programs. I mean, we stopped giving $60 billion to Israel and Ukraine. I think we'd have plenty.
Yeah.
But even if not, maybe we'd have to bite the bullet and just say the younger generation has to pay 5 or 10 years until we have that completely resolved. Social Security should probably go away.
Yeah.
Number 11, child care. They talk about how it costs $11,000 per child for child care in America. What is my solution? Get women back in the home. I believe we should give tax breaks for homemakers. Get women out of the workplace, back in the home. And they should get a tax incentive for having more children. Many governments have done this in the past where they give you even a bigger bonus for just having children. You know, the Bible says, I will therefore that younger women marry, bear children, guide the house, give none occasion to adversary to speak reproachfully. Another question Trump didn't even bring up, didn't even answer. They brought up opioids and the opioid crisis. Well, you know, the Bible says, go if you would to Leviticus 24. I'm almost finished this evening, but I do want to bring up a few more thoughts. The opioid crisis and fentanyl crisis in our nation. Well, what we should do is we should put drug dealers to death.
Yeah. Yeah.
Why? Well, Leviticus 24, verse 17 says this, "And he that killeth any man shall surely be put to death." A lot of people are being killed by drugs specifically. And verse 19 says this, "And if any man, if a man cause a blemish in his neighbor as he hath done, so shall it be done to him. Breach for breach, eye for eye, tooth for tooth. As he hath caused a blemish in a man, so it shall be done to him again." The law should be drug dealers giving drugs to these people that are killing them, they should be put to death. Yep. That will end drug dealers fast because they're killing way more people than they are. Number 13, they brought up the age of both these individuals. Trump said that he took two cognitive tests.
I aced them, both of them. I just won two club championships, not even the senior.
He's talking about Joe Biden.
He can't even hit a ball 50 yards.
Now here's the thing. That was the best part of the match for me was they talking about golf smack. All right, I like that, okay. Biden said he was a six handicap, and then Trump was like,
"That's the biggest lie of all, that he's a six handicap."
And Biden says, "I'm an eight handicap." And he says,
"Never."
It was pretty funny for me, okay. But you know, in the Bible, and I'm not going to go, you don't have to go there for the sake of time, but in Numbers, it brings up the ages of Levites. Go over to Proverbs 29. That's probably the last place I'll have you turn. Brings up the ages of Levites, and you know, they had to quit serving when they turned 50. Yeah. It's kind of embarrassing that as a nation, we have to have an 80-year-old person to run our country. You know, it just doesn't really look good or strong. We should have some more youth in our leadership as a nation. And again, we need to have wisdom, so there's a combination there. There's a balance there of having wisdom and having some youth. But having these 80-year-old, over-the-hill guys running our nation just doesn't make a lot of sense. Being president is very important. You have to make a lot of decisions, work very hard. You know, I just don't think it makes sense to have people that old. And if you look at our Congress, I mean, it just looks like the retirement home, folks. Yeah. Looks like the geriatric unit in many cases. It's gross. He was asked if he was going to accept the election results, and he kind of went back and forth. Eventually he said if it's a fair and legal and good election that he would accept them. But, you know, if I was him and I was asked that question, I would have said I'll accept him as soon as Hillary accepts the 2016 election results.
Yeah. That's good.
But, you know, Proverbs 29 verse 12 says, "If a ruler hearken to lies, all his servants are wicked." Why would I ever agree to an election that the last one was a fraud?
Yeah.
I mean, I would say, you know what, the results were fraudulent. I'm not going to accept them because they were a lie. I'm not going to hearken to a lie, just like I'm not going to hearken to COVID. But you know he's going to do that.
Yeah.
Finally, they let Trump give his closing. And in his closing, he basically just told us how bad Biden is. Well, that's obvious for anybody with a brain. Sorry, folks. You didn't need the Trump to give you a closing statement to tell you how bad Biden was. Why don't you tell us how you're going to fix things, Trump? And I'll say this, if he were a genuine Jehu, he would have to play a little coy in some of these discussions and not necessarily be it clear how he's going to exact his revenge. But I don't believe he's going to. He even kind of said that he was going to allow his revenge to be success. But, you know, we need someone to really clean up. So I wrote my own closing, and we'll finish, all right? Our money says, "In God we trust." Our Pledge of Allegiance says, "I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all." We must realize that we are a republic and not a democracy. We need to bring back God to our nation. We need to make the King James Bible the law of the land again. We need to understand that our Constitution was penned with Christianity as its frame. The Bible says, "Trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not unto thine own understanding. And all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. Be not wise in thine own eyes. Fear the Lord and depart from evil." We must trust God again in our nation and do what the Bible says. We cannot create our own solutions. God has already given us the answers for success by faith. We must repent and turn back to the God of the Bible. Our country has been corrupted by sin, covetousness, and has departed from the one true God. We must hold all positions in government accountable for their wicked ways. We must eliminate political lobbying. We must eliminate insider trading. We need leaders who hate
covetousness. We need to eliminate the Christ-hating Jewish influence in our country, and we must put Christians back into every position of our government. We need leaders who meet the standards of the Bible and are willing to face a foe who will kill to stay in power. It's time to clean house, and we need a Jehu to stand up and say, come with me and see my zeal for the Lord. Let's close in prayer. Thank you, Heavenly Father, so much for the Word of God. I pray that you would just awaken people in this nation to the things of the Bible. I thank you so much that you've given us just a clear vision of what's right and wrong. I pray that you would just somehow cause many other people to see it, and that you could allow us to be a bright and shining light in such a dark world. I pray that we wouldn't fall victim of liking the lesser of two evils, but rather we'd cling to the King James Bible in our lives. And even if this nation will not be restored, I pray that you would just continue to allow us to seek you for all of the answers for the problems that we have in our life and in our world. And I pray that you would help us to have a biblical vision of the world and not to allow ourselves to get brainwashed into demonic attitudes. And in Jesus' name we pray, amen.
All right, for our final song, let's go to 472. This is My Father's World. 472, This is My Father's World. Song 472.
This is my Father's world, and to my listening ears, all nature sings, and round me rings the music of the spheres. This is my Father's world.
Coming. God bless. You are dismissed.